God's eternal purpose. Guess what? God has a plan. Before, what's that song? That song go? Before that, had a secret plan, resurrection. But anyway, he had a secret plan. But there is a plan, and he has a purpose for us. He has a purpose for all of us. And we need to know what that is. So Lord, as I bring this, help us, Lord, to grab on to you, that we might be safe and secure all the days of our life on this earth. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. John 8, verse 14 says this. And he was talking to the Jewish people. Jesus answered him, "If I testify about myself, my testimony is true." And he makes this statement, and I think we have to come to a place where we can make this statement, because it's a statement that would really help us in our walk. "I know where I came from and where I am going. I know where I came from and I know where I'm going. But you do not know where I come from or where I'm going." We need a testimony as people of God that's so sure that nobody can rob you. Nobody can change our mind. We need a testimony that's based on unchangeable things. Not changeable things. We need a testimony based on heavenly things, not earthly things. The things in heaven are eternal. The things of earth are temporal. We need to have a testimony based on eternal things. John 8:23 says this, "And he was saying to them, 'You are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. Therefore I said to you, you will die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins.'" Jesus, before Adam and Eve, before they ever sinned or whatever, Jesus had a plan to bring us home to Him. Now, we became earthly beings, but we were never meant to remain an earthly being. Adam and Eve were never created to remain an earthly being. The plan was always, from the beginning, before the beginning that we know about, was to be in Christ and to be children of God. So the eternal purpose is that we'd be in Christ. Now Jesus is from heaven and returned to heaven. All those who are in Christ are now heavenly beings, not earthly beings. So our citizenship is no longer on earth, but in heaven. We are heavenly beings in an earthly tent, is what the scripture says. We're heavenly beings in an earthly tent. So, the purpose of God was that you would be a child of God from the beginning. And so we are. But we need to know that so sure that no one can rob us from that. Okay. So here we got a verse that says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." What did they fall short of? the glory of God. Do you suppose that God always wanted us to have His glory? That His glory was what we were supposed to walk in? What do we mean when we say glory? We use it as a response, glory. I mean, we use glory for a lot of things. But what does God mean when He talks about glory? What is it that we missed? What is it that God intended for man that we could not enter into because of sin? What is this glory? I was watching on the internet the other day. I was on YouTube looking for something. But anyway, I came across these fantastic basketball players. There was one third grade girl. She plays on the varsity team. And she's the best scorer on their squad. But not only is she the best scorer on that squad, she's the best scorer in their district or in their region. Third grade girl, varsity team. I watched her and her dad was teaching her from 3 years old how to dribble and how to fake people out. She had people on the floor on these games. I mean, they didn't know where she was. And they couldn't catch up with her. And she was a good shot. Right now, she's on the internet all over the place because she has an identity as a great basketball player. There's another guy on there who was talking. And they had one of those bouncers where you could bounce, and you should get one of those, Rocky. You can actually dunk it at 10 feet. You hit this thing and you bounce up. And they had these guys come out from the audience, and this guy's on his cell phone, right? He's on his cell phone. I mean, he must have done some practice, but he's on a cell phone, and he's actually going to do this, right? And they're saying, "Who are you talking to?" My girlfriend. She's up in the audience. I just wanted to make sure she watches this. And he's still on the cell phone talking with her. He takes the basketball. He's on the cell phone. He jumps up and does a flip and dunks it. And lands on his feet and he waves. Still on the cell phone. Well, you get an identity of who you are sometimes. But God has an identity. God is who He is. God has attributes about Him. We sing to Him. We talk about Him. But to have His glory means that we would be just like He is. Whatever He is, we are to become. The glory of God. The identity of God. How would you get that? Well, you get that when you're born into the family. When you're born into His family, you get who He is. Okay? When you're born into someone's family, they can trace it back to that father. Well, when you're born into God, you're traced back to the Father in heaven. You grow up, you know, I was at my uncle's funeral, and my dad's name is Warren, and some old guy come up to me, and he looked down and he said, "Warren, you haven't changed a bit." You just end up growing up like your dad. You didn't have to struggle with it, you just end up growing up like him. And the glory that we're missing is the identity of the Father. In Him there is no sin. But God isn't so much concerned about the consequences of your sin, which is a big deal. He's more concerned here, what did you miss? What have you missed? What didn't you get? It's not, he dealt with the consequences of sin, but are we concerned what we missed? Because he's restored something and you can have it. And are we even concerned that we get it or that we walk in it? Because that was what God was grieving over. He wasn't grieving over how much the consequences. Oh, you missed my glory. You've missed my glory. You've missed what I have for you. The prodigal son. We always focus on how bad he dealt with the money and how much, you know, how what a ruthless guy he was and everything. But the father, he was missing what the son didn't have. Oh, my son who was lost is now found. My son who was dead is now alive. He's been restored. The Father wants us back home. He wants us to be His children and walking in His glory. That was His purpose from the beginning, to have the glory of God. Okay, Romans chapter 8, verse 16. The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, heirs also, and if heirs also, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, so that we may also be glorified with Him. For I consider the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us. There's glory. It's coming more and more. The glory of God. But I want you to catch that it's not something elusive out there. It's the identity of God coming to me. Coming in me. The glory of God. Gives us, this scripture gives us by the Spirit the restoration of the glory of God for us who believe. And that the sufferings of this present time are now to be compared with the glory. God is restoring His glory. This is the glory that He intended for us. The glory. And when we talk about glory, we have to know that He has given us that glory. Okay. And just a little bit further on, for those He foreknew, He also predestined. I'm not skipping anything here. To become conformed to the image of His Son. That He would be the firstborn among many brethren. And these whom He predestined, He also called. And those He called, He also justified. And those He justified, He also glorified. You have received the glory of God. Two things to point out here, just for our topic. Jesus becoming the firstborn among many brethren. And those He justified, He also glorified. Here Jesus is referred to as the firstborn among many brethren. However, in 1 John 1:14, or in John 1:14, not 1 John, just John the Gospel 1:14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw His glory, the glory as the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And then in John 1:12, just before He said that, but as many as received Him, He gave a right to become children of God, even to those who believe in His name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, but of the will of man. So we see that all that believe become children of God. Children of God. And I want you to also notice here that it says His glory as the glory of the only begotten from the Father. The glory of the only begotten from the Father in John 1:14. He had a glory begotten of the Father. What we see is that Jesus was the only begotten of the Father until we were born of God. What happens then? Now you got Jesus, who is the only begotten of the Father, but we have us, who are also born of God. Okay? When you have a child, and he's the first child, right? You only have one child. You speak at him as, he's my only son. He's my only son. When the second child comes along, you can't say that he's the only son anymore. You have to say he was the firstborn. He was the firstborn. So just helping with some terminology here, when we hear Jesus being the only begotten from the Father, and then later he's the firstborn, okay? It's just that we've been brought in. We've been brought in. We've been brought in, and he changed the terminology that he's the firstborn. But I want you to know that the glory that was revealed in Christ Jesus is revealed in us. We have the glory of God because we have been begotten of the Father. We have been born again from the Father. We have a glory. God's purpose was for us to be with Him and to have His glory. The only way that could happen is to be born, not of a natural mother and father, but to be born of God. An earthly man has a certain glory, and the glory of the heavenly man has an exceeding glory. Colossians chapter 1. That is the mystery which has been hidden from the past ages and generations, but now has been manifested to His saints, to whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. You see, it's not only have we been baptized into Christ and are born again, but Christ is in us. So the very glory that Jesus has dwells in you. Christ in you. Test yourself to see if you're of the faith. It says, unless you fail the test, that Christ is in you. You see, we believe. What are we going to believe? Let's put it that way. Are you going to believe the Scripture? Are you going to believe who you are? Or are you going to let someone rob you of that and drag you back into an earthly image? Something that only reflects the circumstances around you. Or are you going to believe the truth? The Word of God. You see, we're going to be tested more and more. And in the last days it says that even those who call you brethren will come against you. You need to have a testimony that isn't going to shrink back in these days. We talk about anti-Semitism, and it's really growing. It's growing big time. And according to Robin, you know, they're losing some real trust for America, which is probably good. They need their trust on the Lord. We've been a friend of Israel for years, but it's waning. We need to have something more secure for us than our identity as an American. I mean, I'm glad to be an American. I mean, but I need something more. We need something more. So we carry the glory of God in us. When we come together believing we are the glory of God, we can then manifest His glory. We can be a manifest presence of God's glory when we come together. But we need faith. We need faith that we are not just ordinary people. We're not just ordinary, whatever you'd call yourself. No, you're a child of God. You have the glory of God in you. It has been restored. And together, we can manifest His glory. But we need to believe it. We need to believe it. We put too much emphasis on the anointing of, in Sunday school today, we put so much emphasis on the anointing of the preacher or whatever. If you are not here for that, I know that. That's good. But the point is we need to know who we are. We need to know what Christ has done for me and for us and for all of us, so that we can manifest the glory of God wherever we are. McDonald's, basketball game, wherever you go, wherever you find yourself, the glory of God is coming with you. But you need to have faith that that's the way it is, and that's who you are. You don't need something else. You don't need another glow. You have the glory of God. Okay, we'll keep moving here. Okay. John 5, verse 44. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another and you do not seek the glory that is from the one and only God? How can you believe when you receive glory from one another? What do you suppose he's saying there? How do you receive glory from one another? Well, here Jesus was rebuking the Jews when they were accusing Him of not living up to the glory of the law by healing a man on the Sabbath. So they were measuring Christ's glory by His ability to keep the law. And they said, "We find you waning. You're healing people on the Sabbath. That's against the law. We find you waning. You don't have the glory. How can you believe when you receive glory from one another?" How do you get that? By judging one another. According to what you see with these eyes. Is he a man of glory or is... No, we don't do that. We need those eyes closed. The eyes that are open are the truth. That Jesus has come. He died. And through the resurrection, for those who believe, He causes us to be born again into a living hope and receive Christ in us, the hope of glory. That's the truth. That's the truth. That's the glory we're looking for. Let's take a look at the glory that comes from the law. But if the ministry of death, in 2 Corinthians 3, verse 7, but if the ministry of death in letters engraved on stones came with glory, so that the sons of Israel could not look intently at the face of Moses because of the glory of his face, fading as it was, how will the ministry of the Spirit fail to be even more with glory? So here's two glories. The glory of the law, which comes through the ministry of death, and the glory of the ministry of the Spirit. Well, how did you receive the ministry of the Spirit? You received that when Jesus took away the sin of the whole world, and He poured out His Holy Spirit upon us, and now we move not according to the law, but according to the Spirit. Now we have a different focus here. The one who wrote the law has moved in, and the glory of God is in me. Now I walk according to the glory of God, which is far surpasses the glory that came through the law. I mean, it's not even close. However, the law has a glory, and many still think that glory is good enough. That glory is good enough. The glory of the law is good enough. So here we go. A little parable. And He was also telling them a parable. No one tears a piece of cloth from a new garment and puts it on an old garment. Otherwise, he will tear both the new and the piece from the new will not match the old. And no one puts new wine in old wineskins. Otherwise, the new wine will burst and the skins, and it will be spilled out and the skins will be ruined. But the new wine must be put into fresh wineskins. But listen to that last little phrase there. And no one, after drinking old wine, wishes for new. Wow. The old is good enough. The old is good enough for me. You want to be careful that the old isn't good enough for you. Stop drinking of the old wine. Jesus has something far greater than the old wine. He gave me a new heart, a heart of flesh that can move and has flexibility. And it said He put His Spirit in me. The new wine is the new Spirit. The new wine is the Spirit of God in us. The new wine is the glory of God that come to fill the temple. I am the temple of God. I've been bought with a price. The Spirit has come in. The glory of God has come in. That glory surpasses the old glory. Philippians 3, verse 18. For many walk, of whom I often told you and now tell you even weeping, that they are enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their appetite, whose glory is their shame, who set their minds on earthly things, for our citizenship is in heaven. Their glory is their shame. They set their mind on earthly things. I'm telling you, the law and its glory was designated for earthly beings. But I have been transformed. I have been made a new creature in Christ. I am no longer an earthly being. I'm a heavenly being. And so are you. If you have believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you are no longer an earthly being. You no longer have the glory of an earthly being. You have the glory of a heavenly being. We need to believe this. Our citizenship is in heaven. Then going on in 2 Corinthians 3, there's another ministry that come with the law. It's called, for if the ministry of condemnation has glory. Have you ever been in a place where they think condemning one another is a glorious thing? We had a prophetic person in our church once that come to me and says, I can see everybody's sin, just let me tell them. She thought that was a glorious thing. To be able to see someone else's sin. Joanne Mathis, the former pastor's wife of this church, said, that's a ministry. It's called it's a discernment. She said she got rid of discernment. It's called discernment of the obvious. You can see sin, Wonderful. I tell you, we need eyes that don't see sin. We need eyes that see the glory of God in one another. We need eyes that see who you have become in Christ. When you look in the mirror, you should have eyes to see who you are. According to what has happened through the cross. Not according to the things of this earth. Much more does the ministry of righteousness abound in glory, for indeed what had glory in this case has no glory. Why? Because of the glory that surpasses it. I mean, you could come in this room, it's kind of dark in here, if you had a little candle right here, you can actually navigate all around this building by that candlelight. And they turn on even the lights that remain. If you turn those on, this candle doesn't mean nothing. You see, the glory comes and it surpasses. It surpasses the glory. So we see the law had two purposes, the ministry of death and the ministry of condemnation. Those are ministries that I'd just as soon not, you know, go to school for. The glory of God has two motivations, the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of the righteousness, both of which are far greater glory. In fact, the other doesn't have any glory next to those. But to this day, 2 Corinthians 3:15, but to this day, whenever Moses is read, a veil lies over their heart. But whenever a person turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory. I want to suggest this is not a glory to glory to glory to glory to glory to glory and finally get the glory. Okay? That's not what he's talking about here. We're going from the glory that was of the law to the glory that's in the Spirit. It's a glory to glory. It's not something that it's a progressive. Yes, we grow in our understanding of that glory and all that. But I'm telling you, the glory of the law, which was designed for that which was crucified with Christ and is no longer in me, that law was designed for that which was taken away through the cross, through the circumcision of Christ, and He gave me Himself. Another glory. It's based on the ministry of the Spirit and the ministry of righteousness, of which we have both been given. You've been given the gift of righteousness and the abundance of grace. And you have been given the Spirit. Okay, you have the Holy Spirit in you. We went from glory to glory. The King James puts it better. The Greek word is metamorpho or metamorphos, which is like changing from a caterpillar into a butterfly. Okay? The Greek says we've been changed from one glory to another. Okay, we've been changed. Probably a better, I like that one better. So, God removed the old heart with its glory and gave us a new heart and a new spirit with a new glory. The glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Hebrews 2. Verse 10, for it was fitting for Him for whom all things and through whom all things in bringing what? many sons to glory. Many sons to glory. It was fitting that through him he would bring many sons to glory. Now, you ladies in here, don't get excited because he says sons. Because whether you're a man or whether you're a woman, you're in Christ. And he is the representative of a son. Okay? But we don't, just because we're male or female, we receive the same glory. There's no different glory for a man than there's no difference between male and female. In that respect, there's just none. The same glory comes to us. To perfect the author of their salvation through suffering. For both he who sanctifies, now get this, for both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father. For which reason he is not ashamed to call them brothers. You know, I'm so glad I belong to the family of God. You know, we call each other, I can't remember, there was a verse in there, brothers and sisters. Well, the reason we call ourselves brothers and sisters is because we have one Father. That's the reason. It's not because we're just so chummy-chummy, you know, that we've just changed our thoughts about you. I'm going to call you my brother in Christ. No, we have one Father. We've been birthed by one Father into His family, and now Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers. Wonderful. I mean, that is something else. We, from the beginning, were destined to glory through the cross of Jesus. We were created for God. We've come from God. We were created for God. Do you know where you come from? And do you know where you have gone? You see, Jesus was going, and we do have a fulfillment, but in a way, we're already gone. Because He took us and seated us with Him in heavenly places. We're already there. We're in this tent. And you know, when we say far above, we think Pluto or Mars or someplace. No, it's far above. What's in me is far above that which is in the earth. What's in you is far above. Don't get this space thing going. Outer space or whatever. No, the kingdom of God is within me. Far above all glory. See, far above. We're already far above. We're far above now with Christ. And we have His glory. We have the glory of Jesus in us. You're not waiting to get to heaven. You're in heaven today. If you're a believer, we need to start knowing where we came from and how we got to where we are now. It was through the cross of Jesus Christ that He made me ready. He qualified me to share in the inheritance of the saints. He transferred me from the kingdom of darkness, from the domain of Satan, into the kingdom of His beloved Son, from darkness to light. We're there. We're there. We need to have some confidence. Iraqi says, we go before the throne of grace boldly because we're children. We're children. We're back home. The child doesn't need to knock at the door. He just comes right in when he comes home from school. Can I come in now, Mommy? No, they just come in because they're children. We need to know who we are and what has become of us when we were born again. And I'll end with this. It's just a little prophetic thing from Psalm 85. Surely His salvation is near to those who fear Him. That glory may dwell in our land. You see that? Surely salvation is near to those who fear Him, that glory may dwell in our land. Do you know that there was a place where it says, and we sing the song, don't we? And the whole earth be filled with His glory. Huh? The whole earth be filled with His glory. Guess how He's filling it? You. You. He's filling it. He's filling it. More and more. We are the glory of God. We bring the glory of God. He's filling the whole earth. That was the... When He said to Adam, you know, fill the whole earth. Well, the idea is to fill the whole earth with His glory. But the glory is not separate from His children. We are the glory of God. And He's filling the whole earth with His glory. Loving kindness and truth have met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth springs up from the earth and righteousness looks down from heaven. I don't claim to understand this totally, but I believe it's talking about Jesus and what He did for us. Loving kindness and truth is the same as like grace and truth, mercy and truth, which are realized in Christ Jesus. God's mercy has been manifest to us through the suffering and rejection of Jesus so that we might be reconciled to God. And as righteousness looks down from heaven, it was joined with the peace that Christ established in me. He took away the enmity that separated us from God. And righteousness and the peace of God that He established in me. Christ is my peace. Christ is my peace. And so now we have been joined and reconciled. We've met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. As righteousness looked down from heaven, joined with the peace that Christ established in us through the cross, it met in perfect love. As Jesus, the truth, came up out of the tomb, He sprang forth with victory over sin and death so that we might receive eternal life. Righteousness from heaven was joined to us. We are the glory of God. We are the children of God. May each of us be given revelation that we may walk in a manner worthy of that glory. I mean, I tell you, it takes revelation. It takes revelation. I'm bringing a message, but you know the message is nothing without revelation from God. You need revelation from God. If you're still questioning anything about this, ask God to reveal Himself to you. Ask Him to reveal who you are. Because we are children of God. So let us believe and release the glory of God in our midst. From within us. And join with heaven and see the whole earth filled with His glory. This is the eternal purpose, to bring many sons to glory. To bring many sons to glory. So Father, I just pray, Lord, we need revelation. In these days, Lord, when the earth is in turmoil and many are going to be looking for something, help us, Lord, to walk in a manner that's worthy. And Lord, help us first of all to believe that we are the glory of God. We've been given the glory of God. We walk in the glory of God. But Lord, by faith, make it a real truth in everybody that can hear what the Spirit is saying. So Lord, I pray that we would walk in a new way with a new confidence and a new assurance that we are the children of God and that He cannot... No one can snatch us out of His hand. And that because we have the glory in us and Christ is in us, He will never leave us nor forsake us. He's with us till the end. So Lord, I just pray that we would have great revelation and a great testimony of who we are in the face of whatever comes our way, that we would not lose our confidence. We would not lose our ability to speak of who I am with confidence. In Jesus' name. Amen.